think that would describe our elder board, that in the power of Christ we stand. You're going to hear from five elders this morning. We actually have what is now what we call a super board. Well, that's what I call them. We typically have seven elders, but right now, as we transition between the year, we have 10 elders. Three will be going off the board. Our elders are on the board for a three-year period of time, and then they rotate off. Many of our elders have been a part of the board over several years. And so you'll meet them this morning, and you probably know them, Gary Larson, Ron Cleese, Todd Jones, Dave Sucher, and Reggie Wardle. If you want to meet the rest of them, come to second service. You'll hear the rest of them there. I get to see them a lot. I get to be in the elder board meetings. So this is a board who prays for you diligently and very much cares about your life in Christ, what struggles you go through, what the church needs in terms of built up in Jesus. They are definitely a faithful group of men that I get to pray with at least twice a month. So very grateful for them. Pastor Bill has kind of given them some ideas of what they might talk about this morning. You'll hear from each of them, possibly a brief testimony, and they've promised that it will be brief. And how many times they've been an elder at Wood Village Baptist Church and what ministries they've kind of overseen and served in, what they enjoy most about being an elder, and maybe one special hope that they have for you, for Wood Village Baptist Church. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and invite Gary Larson up to begin. And if you could all introduce yourselves. They probably know you, but it would be good to make sure they know your name. Thank you, Gary.
Thanks, Pastor Tom. I hope you can hear me out there. It is really a privilege to see you people out there and to be able to introduce ourselves. My name is Gary Larson. Tom said we had to do that. I'm a native Oregonian. Don't see those very much around anymore. Basically lived in the Portland area all of my life, born in Oregon City, Oregon. The company that I worked for moved us a couple of times out of state, but we always came back home. And that home is Wood Village Baptist Church. I was raised by a godly mother. She was active, listen to this carefully, she was active in her church from the age of 12, when she taught Sunday school, until she was 90 years old, listening to Sunday school kids tell her verses. She passed away at age 94. I began going to her church at the ripe old age of one. I was sprinkled in baptism at a Presbyterian church as an infant. Well, I went to her church regularly through grade school, through high school, through summers when I came home from college. I knew Jesus Christ was the Son of God. But he wasn't Lord of my life all of the time. Betty and I got married in 1963, and in 1968, we began raising our family of two boys, Scott and Dan. I was pretty grounded in what the Christian life looked like. A co-worker of mine said, "Gary, are you a Christian?" And I said, "I firmly believe in a Christian way of life. My religion was a set of rules, a list of do's and don'ts. Sometimes I did the buildings. Well, the Lord brought me to my knees in a medical emergency. I almost lost the sight of my right eye. And during that time, a medical team stitched it back together, and then it gave way again. And the darkness continued to encroach on my eye. Brought me to my knees. I knelt before God and said, I need you as Lord of my life, all of the aspects of my life. And at that time, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and Son of the living God. Well, Betty and I and our boys visited Wood Village Baptist Church in the late 60s. Can you think back that far? The late 60s. And we joined the church in 1973. All four of us have been baptized in his church, in this building, by four different pastors. Scott was baptized by Pastor John Atherton, and Scott calls him John the Baptist. My first term on the elder board was in the late 70s, over 40 years ago. In the 90s, well, at the time I was elected to the elder board, we were called deacons, and we served on an advisory board. But in the 90s, we kind of retweaked our constitution and called our leaders elders, and we served on an elder board. Well, this is my 10th term on the elder board. And I just I just wanted to give you a staggering look at how old I really am. I was lucky. I asked Pastor Tom if they took the stage down because I couldn't crawl up over the stage. So I was glad that you have stairs that I could walk up. Well, Betty and I have been involved in almost all of the aspects of this church. We started as sixth grade Sunday school teachers, and we've been involved in almost every aspect of church ministries. Being an elder is just a wonderful but humbling experience. I especially enjoy getting to know these men as brothers in Christ, who care for each other, who pray with each other, who pray for this church regularly, and serve sacrificially as shepherds of this church. Thank you, men, for being there for me and for caring for this body of believers. Well, my special hope for Wood Village Baptist Church is that we keep focused on teaching the Word of God, amen, caring for people, and ministering to our community. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Pastor Tom, for that. We have a great staff. We have, all of you are anxiously praying for Pastor Bill, as am I, as he courageously faces this battle with cancer. And I encourage all of you to continue that prayer. Continue praying for Pastor Bill. Continue praying for the staff. Continue praying for your elder board as we boldly go into the year 2020. 2000 and 20. Okay, we're going to switch up a little bit, and Reggie's going to, not quite the order in your bullet, but Reggie Wardle. We're going from the oldest to the youngest. Come on up, please.
For those of you who don't know me, my name is Reggie Wardle. My wife, Katie, is the lovely bass player up here for you guys. We've been married for 24 years. We have four kids. Our oldest daughter, Carissa, is just getting ready to start her first job as being a labor and delivery nurse. Our second daughter, Kaylin, is a junior in college, also studying to be a nurse. Our oldest son, Rylan, is a senior in high school. Right now, he's learning to become a firefighter. Then our youngest son, Randall, is 16, a sophomore. He's the one running the sound booth back there. And someday he'll probably be a computer engineer. Been coming to this church for a little over 25 years. And this is my first church. I was not a Christian growing up as a kid. In fact, Christianity and I didn't agree with each other. My biological father died when I was 4 from leukemia. So I'd always had this wall of, if there is a God, why'd he take my daddy from me? But the Lord has a way of getting to us. I look back over my walk. There was always Christian friends there along the way. And eventually, the wall came down. When you see God's love being shown in families is what finally won me over. I met Katie, got introduced to her family and her grandpa and Aunt Jan, Janet Shear and Ron Shear, and her sister Doris and Paul, her brother, other sister Darla, and you just see this love going on. Even with turmoil in your life, even with heartaches in your life, you still get to see the love of Christ. And eventually, I got kicked over onto the right side of the fence. Got baptized by Pastor Bill, and been walking with Christ ever since. And like most everyone, we have our ups and our downs. I always tell everybody, I said, you know, I've got that one commercial for Staples. It's got that button where you hit it, you know, make things right. I said, where's my Staples button? I want it done and fixed. I want it done right now. I'm not very patient. Anyways, so like I said, my Christian walk, it started a little bit later in life. And I think that's one of the things that kind of helps you appreciate it more. I know Katie's friend Denise, when Katie and I were still dating, kept asking me, how come you haven't came over to our side yet? I said, I'm not going to say the words unless I actually believe it in my heart. I did not just want to say that, you know, I'm a Christian until I believed it in my soul. So it took me a while. And once I eventually did, she goes, finally! Anyways, my first time on the board, and when Craig Crandall came to me and said, we'd like you to become an elder, I first thought, are you sure? Not because I didn't want to, it's just I didn't think I'd be qualified enough. I wasn't mature enough. Didn't have enough experience. It's like, yeah, I've been coming to this church for a long time, been involved in a lot of things. Katie and I have been part of several Bible studies over the years, leading classes and doing things. We sometimes help out with the decor team when it fits into our schedule. I know they would like us to help a lot more, but we sometimes have other things going on. But it was just the idea of I didn't know if I would be qualified enough. And after talking with him for a while, he said, you're more than qualified. You can do this job. I've had the lucky ability to be able to work with Tom and Jewel for several of the years. Each elder has a responsibility, one of the different types of ministries that's there. And so for 2 years, I was able to work with those two. And this last year, I was working with Raymond, with the youth ministries. And so we kind of oversee things. We go to meetings. When they need things, they come to us and say, can you please ask the board for this? And like I said, when you get to work with great people, it makes your job a lot easier. So, especially like I said, when you get ready to have to go and do certain things, it's like, oh, they're already doing it for me. I love that. As I'm getting ready to come off the board, my thought for what I'd like to see would Village be the future. Love to see more people getting involved, especially the younger people, as we start looking around and realizing, you know, our future are the kids, the young adults. They're the ones that we need to be training so that they can come alongside us and replace us when we need a break or if we move off to another area. Amen. And so my prayer for the elder board is that they will be able to get other people to fill shoes down the road. Other ministries get other people to come up and fill those shoes as well. We can only do so if we're training them. And can't force them to do it. Because again, we all know that if we're forcing someone to do it, the job's not going to be done as well. But we hope that they be able to step forward and be courageous and be willing to take on those responsibilities. Thank you. And who's next? Ron, you're in.
I'm Ron Cleese. Yeah, I'll just take a few steps back. I grew up a little over 4 miles down Halsey Street on 118th Avenue, 4 houses away from Todd Jones on the same side of the street. My dad was Catholic. My mom was Protestant. That's all she claimed at the time. We didn't grow up attending church, but in 1953, the American Baptist Convention planted a church in a vacant lot on the corner of 114th and Halsey. It was a 10 by 10 wooden shed that they used for Sunday school and a 40 foot single wide trailer that they used for the church. One day, my brother and I were playing in the front yard and this car full of people came down our road. It was some adults and some kids. They were all happy about something, you know, and they saw us playing and said, hey, would you guys like to come to Sunday school and church? I didn't know what that was, but they were happy and it seemed like a good thing. So we said, yeah. And so they gave us the details of where and when. And from then on, we started attending Sunday school at church at Woodland Park Baptist Church on 114th and Halsey. As you know, Catholics are supposed to make their children Catholic. But I was fortunate that my dad worked on Sunday, and so he couldn't take us to church. So it worked in my favor. And in 1960, at the age of 13, I decided I accepted the Lord as Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I was sprinkled or baptized as a baby, but I requested baptism by immersion when I went forward. So from that point on, we were members of the church. I was part of the youth group, and part of the time I was the leader of the youth group. But for the most part, I was just an average Christian. I went to Sunday school and church, and that was pretty much it for about the next 20 years. And in 1980, I was attending a small conservative Baptist church in Denver, Colorado. And, you know, in a small church, there's a lot of jobs, a lot of things that need to be done. There's always a need for somebody. And I constantly felt the Lord tugging at me, you know, to get involved and do something. But I was trying to finish my engineering degree at Colorado School of Mines, which is a very difficult engineering school, and I wasn't doing very well. So I made a deal with God, is what I thought. I said, God, if you'll leave me alone right now and let me focus on my schooling, once I graduate, I'll just catch fire for you. It didn't take that long for me to find out that God doesn't make deals. The only deal he ever made was when he gave me salvation back in 1960. So I went along, and my grades continued to go down. So eventually God got my attention, and I decided to do what he wanted. And I started getting involved. I taught Sunday school. I started a visitation program for people that visited our church. I led vacation Bible school and joined the board of deacons. And I started getting involved in using the time I didn't have for God. And the craziest thing happened. My grades started going up. I learned a pretty valuable lesson. From that point on, what God wants, God gets when he wants it. I've had to learn that lesson over and over. I can't tell you how many times I've felt him wanting me to go do something, maybe call on somebody or go do something for somebody. But I was busy changing the brakes on my car, and I wanted to get that finished. And so I was working really hard, but I'd get to a point where a part just wouldn't go on. I was working really hard. I get so frustrated. And finally, I said, all right, God, you win. And I go do what he wanted. And then when I came back, that part just fell into place. So I guess, like Reggie, I'm kind of stubborn and hard-headed too, but I learned from the Lord that obedience is important, and if I obey him, he blesses my life, and he has blessed my life very richly through the years. So, I've been on the board now 3 times. 2 times I was the liaison for the facilities management team, and 1 time for the youth ministry. What I enjoy most as being an elder, I see being an elder as much being a servant as a leader. And the most enjoyable and exciting part for me is when we're lifting you up in prayer. I wish that everyone could experience being around the circle and hearing these men pray. And you're just kind of lifted to a whole new dimension. So that's what I consider to be the most enjoyable part of being an elder. That must be... Tracy just told me she got a new phone, and if it went off in the middle, I was going to be mad at her. My hope for WVEC is that more of our youth would return after graduation and form a nucleus of young people to help carry this church on into the future. That's my hope. Steve.
I'm Todd Jones. My wife Karen works in the front office with Connie Kramer. I'm like Reggie, kind of a late bloomer. I did not grow up in the church. Our family did not. Don't really know why. We just didn't. But I know that I do remember being at the same church that Ron just spoke of. As he said, we were neighbors. I remember Sunday schools, remember an occasional service that I was upon and listened to, but did not get involved. So I lived a pretty worldly life. Got into college, and it was interesting walking to classes. At that time, Campus Crusade for Christ was very strong. And invariably, I would get chosen out of all these people walking to classes at OSU. They would single me out. And so they would give me their spiel that they wanted me to hear. And after about the third time, I thought they had me on a list. And I thought, well, maybe I can just go a little bit farther on what they're wanting me to do in order to get off this list. So I agreed to meet with a young man named John, and a very nice, patient guy. We went to the Memorial Union campus, and he shared the gospel with me. And I ended up praying the prayer. It was a strange experience, because I was doing it in order to then, my name would be off the list, and I wouldn't have to be chosen anymore. But I felt something inside. Not that that's a sign of anything. Not that it's what everybody is going to experience. But something had changed. He wanted to meet on a fairly regular basis. So for about a month, we met every week. And he would share a little bit more and more about the Christian faith. And finally, I just quit answering his calls. I said, okay, I've done what I need to do. I'm off the list. I can carry on. Graduated. And what's been interesting in looking back is that people in my life that I did not know, number one, were Christian, and two, were praying for me. Got involved in the human potential movement for a while. Thought that was the way to go. That's where the answers were. And then one night after one of those sessions, just felt really unsettled. And I believed in God, whoever, whatever that meant. And I would pray. And I said, Lord, if you're really up there, there's got to be something better than this. You know, please make yourself known to me. So in 1977, I was working for Multnomah County Parks at the time. And I was walking upstairs to the office, and there was this new girl working at the front desk, which was Karen. And we got to talking, and long story short, we got married. She grew up in the Lutheran church, but she had not accepted Jesus as her Savior. After we got married, we both thought we wanted to start attending church, but we wanted to go to a church that taught the Bible. So a coworker of mine, who had also just recently got married, they started attending Hinson Baptist and lived near there and told us about it. So we started attending Hinson Baptist Church. And after, I don't know, maybe a couple months, one of the visitation, just like Reggie had referred to, came to visit Karen and I. Karen had accepted the Lord a few weeks earlier, I think through a Bible study. And they came in and they talked to us, and towards the end of it, one of the men said, so I think he sensed, you know, I really wasn't where I needed to be. He said, so let me ask you a question, Todd. If you were to die today and the Lord met you at the gates of heaven, why should he let you in? And at that time, I had the perception that I think many people do, is there's a list kept of the good things you do and the bad things you do. And at the end of your life, they compare the lists. And so I was feeling pretty confident that my list of being doing good things far outweighed the little shorter list of doing things that weren't right. I said, well, I think I'm a pretty good guy. I haven't murdered anybody. I haven't robbed any banks. And so he just patiently listened and nodded his head, and then he proceeded to point out in Scripture essentially that I can't earn my way into heaven. And he shared the gospel, and the light finally went on. So I accepted the Lord and started my faith journey at that time. I also had the misconception that when you became a Christian that life was a bowl of cherries. The reality hit. Not too long afterwards, our first daughter was born and lived 30 minutes. But if it weren't for the Lord and for the adult Sunday school that we are a part of, Henson's a huge church, you may know, but they have adult Sunday schools, and it really kind of narrows it down a little more intimate. And they got us through that. The Lord got us through that. Bless us with two more children. Lost my job after 26 years. Didn't know what I was going to do. A month later, I had a new job. Lost my dad, lost my sister, lost my mom. It seems like each step God prepared me for the next challenge, and he's been faithful in seeing us through it. Bless us with two grandsons recently. Since 1996, I've served 13 years on the board. The first year was 1996. That was near a time where I was coming out of a battle with depression, and I did not feel emotionally ready for the responsibility. Light has been shared. I did not seek to be an elder or a deacon at the time. But somebody saw something in me and approached me, so I agreed to serve, but it was obvious to me I was not ready emotionally to do that, and the board graciously allowed me to step back. But since then, I've served four terms for a total of 13 years. I've served as the elder liaison for facilities ministry and for service ministries. Serving together, a lot has been shared that I feel as well, but it's together as a board, as a group of godly men, praying, seeking, and working out God's will for this church family, as a body, and our role in the community. A special hope for the church that I have is that, has been again shared as well, that we continue to strive to do God's will as individual members and attenders of this church, but also as collectively, as a church body, that we continue to be, as we do that, valued and respected as as an important member and contributor to this community, and that this church will continue to thrive as we continue to work at our mission of teaching the Bible and serving people. And thank you for the privilege of being able to serve. David.
This little time is bookend with the two oldest. I don't know how that worked out. Jim Whitehead was in the board meeting with us last time, I think it was, and he said, for a while there, I was the oldest guy on the board. He says, now there's two older than me. I don't know what that was all about, but that was his comment. Well, I guess my life has been events, things that happened. That has been kind of how God has led me along in life. And since we married young, I met Gladys when we were in high school, and we were high school sweethearts, and married young. About all that I say about me, I'm saying about her, because she was right there with me. Events. When I was a boy about 10, I was born in a little town in southern Minnesota, and all of our family was there, and both sides of the family and big families. So I had the privilege of being surrounded by Christians. That's all I knew. I had this godly grandmother that just, when she talked to the Lord, I'd get chills down my spine, because I thought the Lord was sitting right beside me. I had a mom and dad that took me to church. Didn't wait until I was a year old. They carried me as a baby. And I was in church in this little Baptist church in Canby, Minnesota. And that's what I grew up knowing. And we spent the first 10 years there in that city, that little town. And then we started moving around a lot. But when I was about 10, I was playing with my little friend during recess. And we were together, and then I was supposed to stay in town. Of course, the buses always took the rural kids home, and we lived in a farm. So usually I took the bus, but this time I did not. And he got on his bus, was going to go home. But as he was waiting, the bus somehow, he fell into the street, and he was killed. And here I was, a 10-year-old boy. My friend that I was with just that afternoon was gone out of this world. And boy, that shocked me, because what it said to me was, 10-year-olds go out of this world. Are you ready? And God gave me the gift of knowing that I wasn't ready to meet him. I wasn't ready for heaven. I was just a little Sunday school kid. I hadn't done any big bad thing. But I knew I was not right before him. Something had to get fixed. And it wasn't too long afterward that we had vacation Bible school, and an evangelist came who was the big draw for the vacation Bible school. And he talked about how you can have forgiveness of sin. What's that all about? And it came together in my mind and heart. And that night I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And when I went down the steps of that church, I was flying. I knew that everything was right. The weight had been lifted off me. Here I was, 10 years old. And God blessed me clearly in that. So the events of my life have been guiding me. That was a big event. It turned me to Jesus Christ. And then other events came along. Gladys and I were always active in the church, always taking our two children to church and getting them involved. And I did different things in the church. I was a deacon, I think the youngest deacon in our church that ever was, something like 19 or 20. And I got on board of that kind of church leadership very early. I was Sunday school superintendent. I did just about everything. I even led singing. You can imagine how bad that was. I was willing. And all kinds of different things happened and led me along one step at a time. Billy Graham came to Omaha, Nebraska, where we were living at that time, and they were having a crusade, and this sounded like a pretty big deal. I wasn't really great at sharing my faith. So I thought, well, we could go to that. Gladys and I went, got the training, and that taught us how to share our faith. The first night of the crusade, we went forward, and this couple, you know, you sneak in there like covert FBI or something, sneaking into the crowd, and you're right there, and they turn around, and there you are, ready to give them information. And we both were with this couple, she the gal and me the guy, and both of them received Christ that night. That very thrilling. That kind of got me into the itch of it. You know, that's what I want to do. I want to see people come to faith in Jesus Christ. So we had different things come along to help us. I started teaching home evangelistic Bible studies. Wherever somebody would open up their home, I would go there and teach and get this group together, and people started coming to faith and started getting discipled. And it wasn't too long after that that the president of a Grace University there in Omaha, he happened to be in our church, and he says, "Dave, I've heard you teach. I think you've got the gift of teaching. Maybe you ought to consider some kind of ministry." And of course, he wanted me to come to a school. And I thought about that. I said, yeah, so that's another event. Started off to school. And so it was things like that. At school, I got the invitation to preach at the church out in Iowa in a soybean field. And they had a little church out there. And I said, yes, we'll do that. So we would try everything. And we would say yes to God. And we wound up out here going to seminary. And then Living Hope was in Lynch Baptist Church, called me to be the pastor, and I was there for 34 years. During that time, I had the scary challenge to go to Russia and teach other pastors how to be a pastor through an interpreter. And they stuck me out by myself for a couple of weeks in a city named Obninsk, and it's about 100 kilometers straight west of Moscow, and that was quite an experience. And it was just fine. God was with me and used that all. So I guess the theme of my story is say yes. When God tells you to do something, if you have an opportunity there, especially if it looks scary, that's when you want to do it. Because then you're kind of praying and you're kind of on the edge of your toes and you're moving into that. Just say yes. Now, sometimes it took me quite a while. God had to work on me a little bit to say yes. I wasn't always so quick to do it, because I like to think things over a bit and make decisions carefully. But all the time that I have been saying yes, it's been good. We prayed together, Pastor Bill and I, for about 35 years or so. So I knew him, and when I retired from Living Hope, after a little bit of wandering around, this was the place to go to. And my dear friend. And we were able to be here. It's been 5 years we've been with you. How long have I been on board? Oh, about 2 months now. But I've been on other boards. It seems like my life has been going to board meetings. And as a pastor, you do a lot of that. And so I've had that experience and joy. What do I like about being on this board? Well, the guys. That's the, like the guys have said, that's the fun thing. You're there with men of God who have a diligent life and determination to serve Him. I would just encourage you men out there. Maybe God's kind of wanting you to move along toward board ministry. I would listen to that. Maybe you want to say yes to that down the road. Prepare yourself and find out if you can be part of that. It's good. The other part of it is good is you're able to be in on the direction and decisions of the church. It's a big responsibility, yes, and I feel the weight of that. But you get to be there and be part of that. And God can use you to help and lead the church. What do we look for the future for? In my own life, I see us going through kind of a crisis time, as Gary mentioned. Our dear pastor has not been well. He looks pretty good today, though. And we're praying him back into the pulpit and back into the church. And we believe he's going to be with us before too long and be well. And the cancer will be gone. But it brings to our mind a little crisis. It kind of scares us a little bit. So we start thinking about that. And I would say, let this crisis do something to us. Let it unify us. Let it grow us, both individually and as a church. Fill us with vision for the future. There's so much to do. I can't dare say anything about it because I'll go clear off on a tangent. But I was at Mission Connection this weekend. I walked into a workshop. And the guy, he was Campus Crusade, they call it CRU now, C-R-U, and he was sharing about how we need to change our presentation of the gospel. because it's no longer guilt and forgiveness. It's now shame and honor. And we need to think differently. I could almost memorize what he had to say there. We need to have a vision for the future as a church and need to equip ourselves to meet this world in their needs. They're changing. We need to change with them, figure out how to minister, and then serve God faithfully here.